For he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to God all are alive. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here on this gorgeous day, albeit cold and brisk. And what great readings we have. And congratulations to our reader. Thank you. First one this morning to get Haggai, Zerubbabel, Shealtiel, all of them just bang on. And you're going to be a little bit surprised, those who've heard me preach before, to know I am not going to preach on Haggai. Maybe you're disappointed. Oh, but our gospel today is so full. But I first want to start with a set of figures, some people who are not in the gospel. That is the Pharisees. You know, it's not maybe so common now, but for centuries in the Christian world, a common criticism leveled at someone was to say that they're being Pharisaical. Even today in some circles, you'll hear people criticize other kinds of Christians as being like the Pharisees. Of course, it comes from the fact that the group that is so often sparring with Jesus was the Pharisees. They'd come up to him while he was teaching and try and trip him up with questions about the interpretation of Scripture or how the law should be lived out in their life. They'd come up and give him questions like, what is the greatest commandment? Or what must I do to inherit eternal life? Sometimes they were trying to trick Jesus, clearly. They're trying to show that he doesn't really know or understand the law. But I suspect sometimes they were just trying to understand Jesus, to figure out who he was and what he did know and what he had to say. So these Pharisees, they were learned men. They were all men. But they might have come from any class. They didn't have to be priests. They could have been. They simply had to have the time and the ability to sit with a teacher, to learn about the law, to study Scripture, and more importantly, perhaps, or as importantly, to learn the tradition of the elders, the means of interpreting and applying that law. It's this broader body of interpretation that often comes into question. You know, it's things like, how do we understand the verses that tell us not to boil a baby goat in its mother's milk? Comes up all the time in practical life, of course. But if you're an observant Jew, that's why you don't eat a cheeseburger. That's where the meat and dairy laws came from. Well, these folks were more or less the predecessors of the rabbis who would later write all this down in the Mishnah and the Talmud. Their focus then was on the law. So tradition earned them the reputation as being legalistic, lawyers in the most pejorative sense. Now, I'll be honest, I think probably the better analogy is with theologians, but I'm not casting stones against anybody but myself, to be honest. You see, they were viewed as being focused on the right way of doing things rather than on doing the right things. A Pharisee is then someone who is so focused on the do's and don'ts that they've lost sight of what it is we believe, why we believe it, and how that is supposed to transform our lives and the way we live in the world around us. What's ironic, and the reason I've spent all this time telling you about the Pharisees, is that theologically, Jesus had a lot more in common with the Pharisees than he did the Sadducees. When it came down to understanding and accepting all of Scripture and its teachings, and in particular on the notion of the resurrection, Jesus and the Pharisees were on the same page. And that's the central issue of today's gospel, the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees are trying to catch Jesus out. Because the Sadducees, you see, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Therefore, they were sad, you see. It's one of my dad's favorite puns, jokes. Well, I'm not going to go into this complicated scenario of what we call levirate marriage here, but the Sadducees are trying to trick up Jesus. They're trying to say, okay, we've got this biblical law, right? We all agree on the law that says when a man and a woman die childless, if the man has a brother still living, he should marry that woman, have a child, I am going to tell you about it, have a child with her so that their name and their property might go on. term leveret comes from the Latin lever, which means husband's brother. And so they get this complicated scenario, but Jesus, he doesn't untangle that knot. He says, there is the resurrection of the dead. And he says, those who believe will not die anymore because we are children of God, being children of the resurrection. That's where Jesus goes with their question. Now, this past Sunday, we commemorated All Saints' Day. And we remembered our loved ones who've died before us. We read out the names of many. They were on the paper, but they were always in our hearts and our prayers. This past year on Maundy Thursday, my father Charles died. His name is not there because I forgot to send it in on time. Dad lived a good and relatively long life. He hit 82 years. And finally, the frail husk wound down. His body just couldn't keep chugging along. Now, a lot of you know that our son, Mac, died almost 7 years ago now. He was my parents' youngest grandchild. And my father, he struggled to come to terms with Mac's death. My dad's a devout man. My dad believed in the resurrection fervently, but he still grieved deeply. He missed Mac. Of course, we all do. But as Dad was coming towards the end of his life, he said he wanted his funeral service, though he grew up a Baptist and raised us and had been in a Presbyterian church for, golly, 60-some years of his life, Dad wanted his service to be like Mac's service. He loved our son's funeral service. That service was just the one straight out of the Book of Common Prayer, the burial of the dead. Now, what Dad loved about that service was that it's focused not upon the recollection of the past, but upon our sure and future resurrection. That was Dad's compass. That was Dad's goal in life. When he was dying in the hospital, at one point he asked the nurse, "Do you know Jesus?" Because that's what Dad most wanted people to do, was to know Jesus. My daughter and I were talking about it, and I said, "But did you hear what Dad said?" Dad never said, "Do you know you're going to hell?" Dad said, "Do you know Jesus?" Because Dad wanted them to know Jesus, because that would mean they would know eternal life. And that was what he wanted his sermon, his service, to be focused on. The resurrection was his hope. It is our hope. But it doesn't take away the grief. In the months following Mac's death, I wouldn't say that I had a crisis of faith, but I certainly felt a kind of malaise. I was writing about his death. I was writing about his faith, our faith, the resurrection, not least because it's my academic field, but it is also my faith, and I was trying to work through it, and yet it just felt in many ways like walking through a fog. And then for some reason, my wife decided we really ought to go down to my parents' church for Easter. And I grew up in a tradition of strong preaching. That's why this sermon will only be 45 minutes long. Y'all always laugh too heartily at that. But as Rob read out the text for his sermon and began to preach, I think I heard it for the first time. Passage I know well, 1 Corinthians 15. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has been raised from the dead. We are not to be pitied. That is the heart of our faith. That's the heart of our Eucharistic service. What do we say? The mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. But did I believe it? I sat in the back, Because I don't know why, but we always sat in the back. Did I believe it? Everything hangs upon the resurrection of Jesus. Everything is changed with his resurrection, except the world we live in the sense that it is still a broken world. We still live in a world where a child can be taken by a blood infection, or an accident in a playground, where cancer comes out of nowhere, where you feel called and you're doing the work that you know God has called you to do, and suddenly your boss says, I've got to cut your position, and you have no income, no job. That's the world we still live in, and yet it has been changed and transformed by the resurrection of Jesus. Because believing in the resurrection means believing that this world is not all that there is. Believing in the resurrection means that Christ lives within us and through us, enabling us to love the unlovely, to bring his message, to bring his love physically into this world, while knowing and affirming that this world is not all that there is. I realized, sitting back there, all over again, I do believe. I still wept, I still weep, because my boy is still gone. But I weep because it also means I know I'll go to him. This wasn't a crisis of faith. This is the life of faith, right? This is what faith is about. It's the ebb and flow that comes to us at any point in our life. It can be the death of a loved one. It can be a loss of a job. It can be a relationship coming to an end. And it can bring us back to that question, do I really believe? When you find yourself in that situation, and we've all been there, when we find ourselves in that situation, remember it's okay to question. It's okay to be angry with God, to be disappointed, to feel abandoned. It's not showing lack of faith. It's not being weak of faith. It is a sign of resilience and resistance. We are resilient in that we are questioning. We're recognizing that not everything is clear cut. And we're willing to dive into that deep, murky, real world of our emotions, experience, and faith. And we are being resistant by not accepting simple answers, including the simplest of all. Well, there can be no God then. Bless you. The harder questions, do I believe? Why do I believe? What do I believe? And accepting the grace and the mystery that we won't have the answers at all times to all questions. And in that moment, sitting there, and by the way, tears tend to pool on your glasses when you put your head down and you're crying. Just take the glasses off next time is my advice. In that moment, I accepted God's grace all over again. I confess that I do believe in the resurrection. I am not to be pitied because I share with my Son and my Father in God's eternal kingdom. I confess and I believe this to be true, not because I want it to be so, but because it is the gospel, the good news of Christ. He has risen from the dead. He died for our sins and rose again as the first of us all, so that we all might rise and live eternally. So all of us, all the saints on the page that we will read out, all those for whom the candles we've lit and the poppies that we commemorate on Veterans Day and Armistice Day, we shall all live together, every parent and child, husband and wife, and lots of brothers-in-law. And I don't know how it works out. We don't have the details. Tom Wright put it the best, probably. He said, we got to remind ourselves that all Christian language about the future is a set of signposts pointing into the mist. They are true. They are accurate. They are sending us the right way. They are pointing us to the resurrection and the life of the world to come and the new heaven and the new earth, but they're not very clear. There's no picture on it that says exactly what it's going to look like. We have visions and revelation, and they're grand and they're beautiful, and you know what? They're going to pale completely to whatever it is. They're pointing us in the right direction. So I don't know how it all works out, but what I know, what Jesus tells us, is we are children of the resurrection. And I'll close with this beautiful analogy that came from a childhood friend of mine. Just this summer, as I was writing about these issues and frankly wrestling a little bit with a good way to articulate it, it was the birthday of her son Logan, who had died a year before Mac. He was only about 5 years old. He had been diagnosed 18 months earlier with a brain tumor. And so they had that difficult time, but beautiful time with Logan and their other children before he was taken from them. And Logan loved all things cars, not just the Pixar movie cars, but cars themselves. By three, he could pick out every car just by a corner of a taillight. He could tell you what make and model it was. So every year on his birthday, Sherry picks up a couple of toy cars, ones that she knows he will like the Corvettes and the flames on them. So this year, she wrote about the small bit of grace she received as she left the store and was on her way home before going to the graveyard to put his cars on his little tomb. She wrote, "As I drove down the road towards the house, life is a highway. The theme to the original Cars movie came on the radio. I was initially disappointed that it wasn't the Rascal Flatts version that played during the movie," she said. "But then I thought, sure, it's a different version, but it's still the same song with the same words and the same melody. And somehow, that truth made not knowing who Logan would be today a little less painful. It's like he was saying, it's still the same song, Mom. Just like I'm still me. Different, yes, but still with the same basic underpinnings that made him who he was and still is." That's what Sherry wrote. What a great analogy. The melody remains. The essence is still the same. Paul says the same thing about us. This body, as gorgeous and beautiful as all y'all are, that body is like a little tiny seed. And the way those little seeds become big trees and big plants, imagine this body becoming this amazing big spiritual being. We're going to go from ding, 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 a little melody played on a tiny keyboard to a full orchestra, full choir. That's what we're going to be. That's the resurrection. And we will be together. We will be there with one another. With Jesus, we will be with God, because we are children, children of the resurrection. For he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to God, all of us are alive. Amen.